All right, we'd like to welcome you to the Highland City Planning Commission meeting for January 23rd. Thank you for coming. Sometimes we don't have anyone to look at, so thank you for coming. We're going to go ahead and begin with an invocation, and Klaus is going to give that for us. That's right. Claude. I was saying Klaus. Claude. Sorry. You don't understand?
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to be gathered here in these favorable circumstances to conduct the business of the citizens. We pray that thy spirit would give us the inspiration to do the right thing, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Sorry. And then we'll have a Pledge of Allegiance by Tracy Hill.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We're going to go ahead and open it up to any unscheduled public appearances. This time is set aside to hear your comments. We have a 3-minute maximum, and we'd love you to please give your name and your address and keep it within those 3 minutes, please. If someone is saying the same thing that you are, then feel free to say ditto, and we will take note of that, but we want to be unconscious of the time. We invite you to go ahead and come on up. Thank you.
My name is Daryl Chadwick. I live on 10648 North, 6400 West. My question is, with the development of the homes throughout the city, my question is curb and gutter and sidewalk. So I see these homes that are put up, which is great, but are they subdivided? Because I'm not seeing curb and gutter sidewalk go in front of the older homes, where it seems like, you know, like on 6400, I see two brand new homes, curb and gutter sidewalk in front of the homes, but there's none in front of the other older homes that maybe they subdivided the property. Is that, am I off kilter with? Or, you know, like I said, I see even on 6400 years ago, you know, the Days went ahead and subdivided their property. They didn't do the improvement on their lot. What's the rules and regulations with curb and gutter sidewalk when subdividing your property?
Do we have comment from the city on that one?
Yeah, I'll be happy to answer. We can't speak to the past. So hopefully, you know, if you'd like to look at specific conditions, we're happy to look into it, but I can't speak to what happened in the past. But were you to walk in today and say you had a 2-acre parcel and you wanted to subdivide that and so that you had your existing home and then a new lot, you would be required to place curb gutter sidewalk in front of both properties or the entire subdivision parcel. How and why the past happened, I'm not sure. And I think that in a longer-term sense, the thing that you're talking about, which is a lot of the old county roads, so a lot of your main roads in the city, 6000 West, 6400 West, they were the original county roads, right? And a lot of those, we do have a varying cross-section where some properties have curb and gutter and sidewalk and some don't, and I think that that's something that does need to be a focus of the city as we look in a long term. But to answer your question directly, we would require, were you to develop tomorrow, we would require that the curb and gutter went on both properties.
I moved in, into my home 18 years ago, and my lot had to be developed. And so I can see that, but I just see a lot of the gaps and stuff. And one last question is, when they redid 6400 West, I had a neighbor, oh, great, they put curb and gutter sidewalk in front of his yard at, I was told by him, the city's expense, but I see, other homes, made that decision to fix his here 2 years ago and not everybody else's.
Sure. And relative to that decision on his home, I don't know how to answer that. But I think as we look forward with the city, those are corridors that we need to address so that we can ensure that there's, you know, safe environments for our pedestrians down those entire corridors. So it is something that in a long-term sense, but to come in on those corridors and place curb and gutter and sidewalk is a very expensive undertaking. And so it's going to take some planning and some long-term vision for the city. But.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? These are just comments on anything general, not on a specific item that we'll be discussing today. Yes, please. State your name and your address. Thank you.
Eric Halverson, 6589 West, 10760 North. I'm just looking at the map. So does that, the curb gutter sidewalk, is that going to be enforced on the new development on 6400 West? Okay. Since I'm up here, I might as well ask another question. Is it possible to, I've never dealt with this before, but is it possible to have a new development install like fencing or a wall along the development area to reduce sound, sight, and debris like dust blowing through the kind of development space?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's something that.
And we'll discuss more about that. You'll find out more about that.
Since we're having a public hearing on the development tonight, if you have questions on the development, save them for that. Right now is public comment.
Because we'll give
on anything not related to the item on the agenda tonight.
I just want to get started. Thank you.
More
we may
come.
Answer some of those questions.
You'll get a lot of answers to your questions if you listen to what's being presented. I hope we do some problem solving for you. Okay. All right. Then is there anyone else in our... Okay. It looks like we'll close our public hearing. And we'll go ahead to our consent item where we're approving the meeting minutes for December 19th, 2023.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of 19th of December, 23.
I'll second.
All right, can we have a vote on it?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Okay. We're going to go ahead with a public hearing, preliminary plat on Foxwood Estates. This is action item number 3, and this, as the mayor was kind enough to remind us, we're now responsible for approval or not of these items. They don't go to the city council. So, all right. I'm going to turn the time over to Jay for that presentation.
All right, so Foxwood Estates is a development, proposed development. You can see on the map here, it is in this area represented by the orange square. Bordered on the east by 6400 West, south of SR 92, and north of 10400 North. This is the preliminary plat design. And Rob, do you want to take over whenever you?
I would love to take over. So this is a standard R140 subdivision. They're proposing 20 lots over about 24 acres, if I remember correctly. A little bit over 24 acres, but so it's all per standard density. You'll see there's a few lots right in there on the kind of east side that are the between 20 to 30,000 square foot lots. They have the appropriate number of those. The only other kind of zoning thing is this is part of an area shown on both the city's trail master plan and our new active transportation plan for a trail connection. So if you look, you can kind of see it along there. Maybe I can use the laser. I was going to draw it on the... So the trail comes down here. Oh, highlighter? Do we have a... I'm trying to draw it for them and the public. So the trail borders the road here, so instead of having the normal 5-foot sidewalk there, it'll be a 10-foot asphalt trail instead of the sidewalk. Comes in between these two lots here, circles around, crosses over along here, so they'll have a kind of a nice view over the wash there. And again, comes down through here, crosses over, and then follows the southern boundary of the property over to here, where the city has an existing trail corridor. It's not improved yet, but the city owns that. You can see that little parcel north and south there. So that's the connection. We are requiring, per city code, walls and barriers along this the trail where it makes sense, essentially. So we're putting it along the southern side here, and then along the road and in between the lots there. So I'll have the nice theme wall type, you know, the concrete type thing. We've also looked at some kind of wall, I should say. We're, you know, we'll come with final night. This is obviously a preliminary plat, but the developer understands that that's a requirement to put some kind of screening along the trail there. Other than that, there's, in some ways, nothing too remarkable, except we have two kind of firsts for the Planning Commission. First, this is our first sensitive lands, not issue, project. So if we can go on to the, let's skip it way ahead to the, so next one, as you'll see in there, part of our sensitive lands ordinance deals with sensitive slopes, and that means steep slopes. So we had the developer provide a lot of studies and engineering regarding slopes. You'll see in there that big block of kind of red orange, those are the steep slopes, over 40%. As you can tell, they're in the wash. So one of the issues that we're dealing with tonight, not dealing with, but that is a request from the applicant, is under the sensitive lands ordinance, we adopted a slope setback. So now any homes, basically any lot that contains or is within 50 feet of a steep slope over 40% has to stay 50 feet back from that slope. That's a new requirement. We have not done it for other subdivisions. Obviously, we've just passed that sensitive lands ordinance. So, you know, we have homes kind of all along here and on the other side of the wash on this side that aren't required to meet that because they were done before the sensitive lands ordinance. We also have in our code a way for the applicant to request a reduction of that 50 feet if they can provide the engineering and documentation to support it. And they're also required to then put on the plat itself restrictions showing for each lot, here's where you're allowed to build and here's where you are not. Andy will kind of delve into that a little bit more as he's looked into that. We've required some studies. So they have requested an adjustment of that 50-foot setback. If I recall correctly, it's a 12-foot or a 1-to-5 slope. We're going to ask for cross-section for each lot so it becomes really clearly defined when someone goes to buy where we will allow homes to be built to protect that slope. So that's the kind of new thing. So we're dealing with the sensitive slopes. Otherwise, we've looked at the road issue that kind of crosses on the north-south there over that. We've looked at that, and we have less than 8 feet of fill there is what's been represented. We're not too concerned with that. So that's allowed by our sensitive lands ordinance. We've looked at that as well. We aren't too concerned with that, and everything else is being managed appropriately. There's a ditch that'll be abandoned through there, or not abandoned, but piped and rerouted for the ditch company standards. And the other thing that's new is you will decide to approve this. So that's kind of exciting. So standard R140 subdivision, density is normal, 20 lots, no real concerns there. We've checked all the frontages. They meet the 130-foot frontages, even along the cul-de-sacs. They have a trail connection as required by the master plan. And with the exception of that slope setback issue, they meet our sensitive lands ordinance. So maybe I'll have Andy kind of tackle that.
So the developer came to the city and said, I feel, and we'll let them represent themselves, but I feel that in this condition, the 50-foot setback from the edge of that wash or from the edge of where that steep slope begins is overly restrictive. Part of their evidence that they offered was all of the homes that, Rob alluded to this, but all of the homes that are built in the Canterbury neighborhood are actually quite close to the wash on that side of the wash, and they've been there for approximately 20 years. I don't want to date that subdivision exactly, but in the neighborhood of 20 years, and to our knowledge, We haven't had any significant problems in that neighborhood. Additionally, they also had a geotechnical study commissioned for the subdivision. And the geotechnical engineer came back and said, and the geotechnical engineer's findings are represented by the purple line on your screen. And to the audience, I don't know if you can see that purple exactly, but it's the right of, yeah, they're following the line there. It's kind of, can't tell what color it looks like on the screen, but that line. So what the geotechnical engineer said is, if you'll come off the toe of the slope in the ravine and follow a slope that is, and this is different than some mathematicians would say it, but we say 1.5 to 1, and that's 1.5 horizontally, 1 vertically, and extend that to where that hits the ground surface, any loading that is placed outside of that angle, or on this picture to the right of that angle, would be safe and stable based upon the soils that they found on the site and the conditions they found on the site. So what the applicant has proposed, and we as staff have concurred with their findings and their proposal, is that one of three conditions would exist. Either, and when we say they've drawn a home here on this little figure, they've drawn a home with a basement, right? They're representing that. But we're also talking about a pool in the backyard or a accessory structure or any type of structure, we're talking about would be restricted from this. So this isn't just the homes. This is what might go in the backyards. So any type of structure would be either the most restrictive of any of these three conditions. So either it would be 12 foot from the edge of the wash to the nearest edge of that structure, or it would be, if it's a structure that has footings and those footings are below the grade, in our little example there, the footings would go kind of at the bottom of the basement. So, or the footings will be at least 15 feet from the top edge of that wash, or if that 1.5 to 1 slope then pushes that farther away from the wash, say that 1.5 to 1 slope makes it 25 feet, then it would be that 25 feet. And that slope will be determined based on each individual lot, and the city will be provided with a similar cross-section to this for each individual lot that says, okay, here's the exact survey for this lot, the exact condition for this lot, and on the plat will be placed that restriction. And so we'll be very clear on the plat where the buildable area is versus where the area that wouldn't be able to have any structures. Now, the people can still have a backyard and grass and trees or plants or whatever they want that goes up to the edge of the wash. They just won't be able to put any structures. They won't be able to put a pool there or a shed or anything else. A couple of these homes and lots are a little closer to the wash as far as where the main home would go, and a lot of them are quite deep, and so, you know, probably maybe two of the, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lots that face the wash, and so there's two of those lots, maybe three, that the structure, the actual primary structure, will be a little closer probably if you look at the buildable areas, and then the others, it's probably we're more talking about a pool or a accessory structure or something of that nature. We felt like in this case that they've done sufficient studies and proposed sufficient safety factors that we as staff were comfortable. The ordinance, when we adopt an ordinance, we adopt, you know, a kind of what we would say is the most safe condition. So we looked at it as a city, as we adopted that ordinance, and we said, okay, 50 feet is a reasonable distance when we don't know anything else. So in this case, they're proposing and have provided the engineering and will provide the rest of the data to us to where we know a lot more about the specific condition of the specific lot to ensure that that lot is safe and those structures are safe. So that's their proposal to us. in your staff memorandum, a memorandum was provided to the Planning Commission whereby we said, okay, we think this is a reasonable proposal, but here's this stipulation, this stipulation, this stipulation. So we don't want the Planning Commission to be scared off, because both in your staff report and in those memos, there's a fair amount of stipulations. That there's two reasons. They really tie back to what Rob said, and that is that this is the first subdivision that the Planning Commission is the land use authority. So you are it. Once you vote tonight, they have a vested right to then build that subdivision. And then this is also the first time that we've looked at a development under the Sensitive Lands Ordinance, and it's the first time that a developer has said, hey, I'd like to propose an alternative to this, to that subdivision. So as staff, we were fairly careful in our preparation and tried to dot the I's and cross the T's. So we don't want there to be any perception that, hey, the developer wasn't prepared or anything. It was, there's a couple of firsts here tonight, and we wanted to make sure that the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed as this was considered for approval. With that, I'm happy to answer any other questions relative to the sensitive lands or relative to the engineering on the development that the Planning Commission may have, or if Rob or Jay has anything else they'd like to present before we go to questions.
I do have a question for you real quick. I'm curious how it is presented and enforced for the next owner of the home, the restrictions on that lot.
So a couple of things. The plat will very much like on the preliminary plat. Do we have a slide showing the preliminary plat at all? Let's see if we can go to the preliminary plat.
No.
I'm looking for that view. It doesn't have page number. It says preliminary plat. That's the view I was looking for. I was hoping that the audience could see it. We'll just pull up the staff report real quick. So on the preliminary plat that we're going to pull up, and what you're going to see in just a minute is a crosshatched area on the lots. And so what we're proposing is that the plat will very similarly have a buildable area that's very clearly annotated on the lots. And when I say annotated, the exact dimensions of what you can actually build in on those lots will be detailed on the plat. Additionally, there will be several notes on the plat that detail the restrictions, and then we're proposing that in this case, the geotechnical report and the subsequent geotechnical report that details each individual lot will be recorded at the county. And so what we would envision happening is that geotechnical report will be recorded, and then they'll take and we'll write that information on the plat, and then we'll record the plat so that the future homeowner can not only see what's on their lot, they can then find that geotechnical report, and it doesn't get lost in some file or something. They have the recording information, so they can pull it and they can see, oh, this is what was determined by the city for my specific lot. So that's one of those stipulations and things that we've said, okay, with the developer, at least as the staff, if we're to recommend approval, this is what we think is reasonable so that those future owners have that information to get to that point.
Thank you.
The only thing I wanted to also point out is we have a parcel A.
Anyone else have any questions for the staff on this particular part?
So I just wanted to point out that parcel A, if you see in the top, this is way up the wash. So as you go up, it's not really a buildable area. It's very steep. The city also kind of uses it as part of some drainage. So that's going to be dedicated to the city as part of the development. So
Correct. That's
not going to be for private ownership. That's kind of just left to the city to handle, which is beneficial to the city.
It's beneficial to the city for two reasons. Number one, in that little corridor that goes between those lots adjacent to Caitlin Lane, there's a water line that's actually a Lehigh City water line that's in that corridor, that diagonal running corridor. And then the city actually, about 18 months ago, placed a sewer line across the wash between lots 24 and 25 shown on Caitlin Lane, and it goes to between lots 155 and 156 on the Canterbury side. And so the city will now own the corridor that the sewer line spans, and then there is also some drainage that's some city drainage from the adjacent developments that enter that parcel. So as we've worked with the developer, we feel it's beneficial for the city to ultimately own parcel A. So the rest of the wash will end up within the lots, and it'll have easements on it, et cetera, but the wash will be part of the lots. But that last little most westerly portion will be the city's, and then from there, it actually, the drainage, it kind of transitions to the Dry Creek Reservoir property down there in the bottom. It kind of opens up to the Dry Creek Reservoir.
So I got a couple questions for you since you opened up questions.
Sure.
The Geotech report, I know for a fact that that ravine has been used as a garbage dump for the past 100 years. Did they satisfy any concerns the city had with that? Did they find anything? Did they take soil samples? Did they drill test holes?
I'll answer that in... Probably you asked three questions. I'll answer it in two or three answers. They did do test holes. They are aware that, and you are absolutely right, Commissioner Zane, that the edge of the wash, we are aware, in various locations, debris over time was dumped there, and the farmers who had the land before gained a little real estate, so to speak, by placing kind of old broken up concrete and whatever and pushing the fill out there. So they are aware of it, and they're actually extremely conscious of it. In the time that's been leading up to this coming to the Planning Commission, they've actually been down there trimming a few trees, trying to clean up some of the dead wood and everything. They're not trying to defoliate the wash, but they're trying to make it so that they can work in and around the wash, and then we've had numerous discussions with them about that they are going to go along the edge of the wash and investigate and clean up to the extent possible the junk that probably is along the edge of there and subsurface. And so they are very willing to do that, but their cleanup efforts to date have been trying to set themselves up so that they could further that investigation. But that is a conversation that we have had with them, okay, and that they are very willing to do, and that we have said is very critical, because we concur with you and agree with your finding or your knowledge that at various places, and it's intermittent, but there was some of that.
So that, you answered my question. Thank you. My concern was that them finding they're being unaware of a garbage, we'll just call it area.
Like an ESA.
It could affect some of these building envelopes. That's my only concern, is that's properly addressed. I don't know how to do that until you start digging footings.
I would say to some extent you're absolutely right, because a geotechnical engineer, it would be uncommon to dig a just complete running trench along the edge there, but I do think that it would be reasonable for you in your motion that if you wanted to add a stipulation that said the final geotechnical reports on the site will include a certification from geotechnical engineer that they've sufficiently investigated the edge of the wash and that all debris has been identified and accounted for in their reports and their recommendations.
Okay, thank you for that.
I think that would be reasonable and responsible, and I don't think that the developer would be in opposition to that, because that's what we've talked about. They want to find that material and get it out of there or identify it. Some of it may be more practical to leave in place, in all truth, but at least identify it so that it's known.
Sure, and just another question. Can you go back to the slide that has the red sensitive areas? Just something that stood out to me. I think it's just, well, yeah, whichever one it's on. The one that has the, right there. It's called parcel C on this drawing, but it's called parcel A on the other one. Is that something, is that omission, or is that a different definition?
I think that just might have been an early draft of various arrangements.
Just want to identify
we'll
that.
Make sure that gets fixed. Caught on a future submission.
Fixed on a future. And along that lines, in the recommendations from staff, it says that that will be dedicated to the city. Rob, my understanding, you can deed, you can quick deed, you can do something like that, give it to the city. Is that the right word to say that it would be dedicated? Dedicated means you're giving them the opportunity to use it, but you're the lawyer. Is that the right word to say the city owns it?
Yes, that would be fine.
Thank you. That's all I got for a minute.
So I did have a question about if the substance of whatever trash was put in that area, is this landscaping trash, is this rocks, or is this waste?
The only thing that I have personal knowledge of is when we were constructing the sewer line that I referenced. And when we were constructing that sewer line, as we were pretty close to the edge of the slope, we found various pieces of concrete, kind of like old broken up sidewalk and curb and gutter, et cetera. And so in talking with those that we worked with on the other side of the in the Canterbury side, they indicated that as they did their landscape, they also found some, concrete and miscellaneous debris. And so to the best of my knowledge, and it's very limited, what probably happened in some areas is, the farmers said, yeah, sure, bring, to the excavators or contractors, yeah, sure, bring down your haul off of different jobs when they had extra soils or when they had concrete or whatever left over, and they probably pushed it out to the edge of the wash there, towards that edge of the wash, and like I said, gained a little flat land, if you will, on top to expand the farm property. Most of what we found was fairly close to the slope and would be within what we would anticipate that slope setback area would be. That's my knowledge. I don't know if there's other trash, et cetera. As far as more
car parts and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, all that
exactly.
Kind of stuff, all to the back of a property.
A lot of old farm properties. It wasn't that uncommon for them to have a part of the farm where they kind of, chucked the old tires and whatever, came off of the farm, and that's not just this property. That was a lot of the farm properties, and so it's entirely possible that could happen. But that could happen on any of our developments.
And I'm just curious with that because they're now asking for exception to the setbacks on this ravine that we've made, and they want to make it closer. But now we have information that it might be less steady.
To us, that's not new information. The information that
to me,
Commissioner, to you, it may be, and that's a discussion that we've had with the developer. I'd love to give him a chance to talk to that a little bit more, because early on, that was a discussion that we had with him. Is look, we have this knowledge about the edge of the wash based on our building experience there. How are we going to work with that? And so. That's why I suggested the condition that I did, because that should provide the city some assurance that they've done enough investigation to be content that the buildable areas that are being identified are clean and good buildable areas.
I've got some questions. The first one would just be around process, so refresh my memory, Rob, but we would be approving or disapproving this, but the real substance of the approval occurs in that land use authority, kind of our current zoning administrator and then two members of the planning commission in conjunction with other city staff. Is that correct?
Yes. So the preliminary plat will be approved, or it'll be decided tonight.
Sure.
And the final plat approval, which also include the final subdivision plans, all the, you know, the very detailed plans and construction drawings will be approved later by that new administration board. However, the thing that you'll be deciding tonight is kind of two major things. First, the slope setback request, that is for you to decide. If you don't approve that, then we have to come up with some others, you know, work with the developer, come up with something else. And the other thing you're deciding is the general layout of the plat. Once that, after tonight, when that administration board reviews the final plat, we're reviewing to make sure, okay, we have that list of, you know, 14 plus different stipulations, plus our code standards, have you met all of those? So we're gonna be looking to make sure, okay, are the lots still generally the same? Do you still have the trail? Are you still meeting the recommendations regarding the geotech report? Did you provide the cross sections we asked for each one? So you're deciding the parameters of how we make that future decision. But so this really locks in those vested rights, but the final approval is later.
Super, thank you for explaining that. And then Andy, pardon me for seeming a bit of a dimwit. So is it the greater of or the lesser of those three?
The greater of. So whatever pushed them farthest away from the slope.
Okay.
So any of those conditions that pushed the structure farthest from the slope is what the restriction would be.
Okay, and then what was the second one? So it was 12 feet, so 15 feet?
It would be 12 feet on the surface. Mm-hmm. It would be 15 foot from the edge of it on the surface to a footing, mm-hmm. You know, to the footing, to where the footing level and that surface would daylight, or it would be where that 1.5 to 1 line daylighted or connected with the surface. So on some of those lots, and a number of the lots, the 1.5 to 1 slope will actually push the buildable setback farther from the front edge of that slope. So it in many of them will be the greater determining factor. So looking at the plat that's on your screen, where you the dark kind of dashed line that kind of varies there is the wash, and then the crosshatched area in each lot is the buildable area as they've represented it to date. And so in those areas where you see those two separate, that's where that 1.5 to 1 slope is pushing that structure farther away from the wash. So, but that's the way we view it, is it's the most restrictive or the farthest distance of any of those three conditions.
Okay, got it. So just to clarify, in the example of lot 14, if we were to use that 1.5 to 1 slope, it would be too close to the edge. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. It looks like the minimum setback's governing it there. Okay. You know, and not just the ones where the line is fairly parallel to the wash, that minimum setback is governing more than the 1.5 to 1.
Okay, and then just a follow-up question to that. In the event that a homeowner wishes, I hope they don't want to block their view, but in the event that they do want to put up a fence isn't really considered the accessory structure or anything like that. So in theory, I presume nobody would do that, but in theory, someone could put a fence right on the cusp of the hill or sensibly, you know, a foot or 2 feet away from the edge.
Correct. They yeah. could.
But that would be a separate fence yeah. permit. And
it's a separate fences fence have permit, a but they would have the opportunity to if they so chose. The presumption would be that most that are buying it want to look at the beautiful wash more than a fence, but they would have the opportunity and the right to do that. And those restrictions governing structures wouldn't restrict a fence. Yeah, I think that was the crux of your question.
Yeah, thank you very much. And then the comment about the trail fence seemed a bit vague to me, at least reading through the document, where it was some type of substance. And what is meant by that? Is it 'cause we've got fairly clear in our current dev code about what is appropriate and not appropriate fencing materials and heights and all that, especially around trails.
I'll defer that one to Rob to speak to, because, it is fairly specific around the trails.
So our code was, the stipulation is to do the theme wall.
Yes.
Which is what the code requires. So we didn't delve more into details of what kind of theme wall, because the code is, you know, there's four types of materials you're allowed to use. And they're also required to still put in the park strip buffer and, you know, plant natural vegetation. So they've agreed to do that. So we haven't designed the theme wall yet, but the applicant aware that we're going to hold them to the standards of our development code in terms of what that theme wall will look like, where we're putting it in.
Thank you. That was just the clarity that, yes, that standard dev code would apply.
Standard development code theme wall.
Cool.
So another question about that trail system. You said that on 6400, there's going to be a 10-foot asphalt trail. Is that right? Extending the one
correct
from the other neighborhood that's crossing the street. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and so then it turns into that little trail between lot 8 and 7. And then does it just go to basic sidewalk, or is it keeping that 10-foot?
It's staying the 10-foot all the way around, so it's a little hard to see because we're in.
Which way is it going?
I'm going to zoom in really close because there's a lot of lines here. But you can see, like, for example, up here, you see the little, like, tiny squares. Those are the normal sidewalk. Okay. You see around here, they're much thicker. That's the 10-foot trail. You'll see it'll continue between lot 8 and 7. Wrap around the bulb here, and then it crosses the street to follow around here. This is a normal sidewalk on the east side, okay, and the 10-foot trail on the west. And you can see there's little notes calling it out. Continues around through here, then once again crosses the street into the southern boundary of the property where it'll extend. You can see they're calling out the trees and then the park strip and the trail all the way to the edge the property there.
And is there fencing on that south side?
Yes, so there is fencing along this south side, and then between the lots,
right,
and then along here in between the lots is one of the stipulations staff has recommended.
Thank you. I was just trying to figure out where the trail exactly was going.
So just to clarify that, and it looks great, by the way, so if you're walking from the south heading north, you're going to have park strip, regular sidewalk, and then when you get to the end of lot 7, it'll just transition into no park strip and just a big tar.
There will still be a park strip, so we're still requiring the park strip. The trail only replaces the 5-foot sidewalk, so in effect the right-of-way actually increases because going from a 5-foot sidewalk to a 10-foot trail,
yeah,
but that park strip continues.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so from a visual point of view, we'll have the park strip. The sidewalk will just be turned into asphalt and be significantly wider.
Yes.
Okay.
And they'll see it curve down in between the lots into the neighborhood there.
Yeah, great. Thanks for explaining.
Sorry, one more question. And if you can zoom back out on this, I didn't quite understand what you were saying there to Chris. But as I'm looking at that, you have the heavy dashed line right on the cusp, or is that the cusp of the hill is what that designates? Or is that designating the building envelope?
This is kind of the edge of the hill there.
Okay.
This hashed area with the diagonals going up to the right, that is the buildable area. And you can see where it gets closer here.
Yeah.
That's what they were talking about. That's pushing up to the minimum 12-foot distance is hitting where it's closest.
That's what I wanted to that represents where that 12-foot line would be. So if you go down to lot 12, it's a lot bigger gap between that heavy dashed line and the building envelope. That's where we're saying if we permit that change, that's how much further that building envelope can go. Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, what you're seeing there is the farther west the wash goes, the farther west into the property that the wash goes, the deeper the wash gets. And so consequently, that slope starts to then be the governing thing rather than the minimum setback. And so, like you noted on lot 12, the buildable area is pushed quite far from the wash because of the depth of the wash.
We will also require, there's a lot of recommendations in the Geotech report regarding fill and having to different kinds of fill and having studies done as part of building. Those will be supplemented with the next step. And we also require revegetation and topsoil preservation plan, where some of the topsoil is not good because of the reasons we've talked about, but some of it still is, and they've committed that they will preserve what is good, and when they do all their work and retain it and put in silt fences along there to make sure not putting more down into the wash than they need to. So all those are also contained in our stipulations and in the geotech report.
So I have a question and maybe an explanation for the audience as well in the form of a question. So on 6400 West, we have a theme wall, 6 foot high concrete is our standard. So just using lots 4 and 7, you'd have the curb and gutter, you'd have the park strip, 4 foot, you'd have a 5 foot sidewalk, and then you would have a theme wall. No?
You'd have 5 more feet and then the theme wall.
Okay, so it's the 14 foot.
The fence goes 14 foot behind the curb.
Top of curb. Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. That actually answers my question, because then it resolves the trail on lot 8. So the fence will be consistent. You're not going to have a little jig or setback to the fence.
What's suggested in the staff motion is that the 5 foot landscape would still be behind the trail on lot 8 as well.
Oh, yeah.
So what the staff motion does, or the staff suggested stipulations, would have the little jog in the fence you're talking about at the little trail corridor. Because the staff motion is suggested, or subject provision is suggested, that landscape, or that 5 foot that's on the property side or west side of the sidewalk, would continue through that trail area. That's up to the planning commission, I think, whether they want to jog in that or not in the fence. Looking at phase lot 8, because lot 8, the staff stipulation suggested that the landscape strip, the 5 foot landscape, ought to continue behind the trail. So consistently, you've got 5 foot of landscape between whatever walking surface and the fence.
Okay, so just to clarify, in the case of lot A, you actually have 19 feet from top of curb. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Just another quickie. Is this an HOA? No.
Not that we're aware of, but they might do it. It's,
yeah, it's not
the city
important.
Does not regulate that kind of private.
I'm just wondering if that's
but the ownership
they're planning.
So the theme walls are under our new, we updated our fencing code, so those are maintained by the private property owner who owns it. So some kind of provision will need to be made for the preservation and maintenance of those in the future.
So that should be a stipulation. Okay, then another question is, who is responsible for the park strip?
Well, adjacent to all the normal sidewalks, that's the adjacent property owner as usual, where everyone has their homes. They take care of the park strip in front of the, or between.
From the street to the theme wall.
From that would be us. No? Oh, my apologies.
In the case, so the only thing that the city cares for this is my area, then it's parks that has to take care of it, et cetera. But the only thing the city cares for around the city is the parkway details, which are the 29-foot sections, and generally that has the meandering walls. But these sections where the homeowner ends up with what is a double-fronted lot, we'll look at lot 7. Let's talk about lot 7. So the homeowner's got the responsibility for the park strip maintenance in front of their home on the cul-de-sac, and then they also have the responsibility for the park strip and landscape maintenance behind the home on 6400.
So what about the trail entrance between the homes?
The trail entrance between the homes, typically the city's going to care for that, and we would anticipate that the city would care for the little strip down south of lots 17 through 20, this strip of property that's on the other side of the street that isn't adjacent to their lots. So the two corridors in this case that the city would care for would be the landscaping adjacent to the trail between lots 7 and 8 on that little corridor there, and then the landscaping that is on the south side of the street in the park strip on the little cul-de-sac road that's abutting lots 17 to 20. So the city would care for that trail corridor all the way through there. But anytime you've got a home that's just fronting a theme wall, and it's just kind of a standard theme wall and not a parkway detail. The homeowners care for that.
I was just asking because in the years I've been on Planning Commission, what we've heard most is, you know, my trail's not taken care of. So I was just curious who is responsible for that little area. So yeah. Thank you very much.
We are doing our best, but there's a lot of area.
Chairperson Moore, can I just ask so want to let the residents that are here be aware tonight you've been hearing about that this is going to be the Planning Commission's decision. This will not become the City Council. The state legislators last year removed if this is already zoned, if the current zoning meets the city standards, that it will not be moving forward after Planning Commission to any City Council or any other body. So tonight, what you've been hearing is this is the first subdivision to be coming in. The law takes place on February 1st. The next City Council is not until February 6th, so the law is in place. So tonight, the Planning Commission will have the final say in how this gets all put together. So during there'll be another public comment time. If you have concerns, please make sure they hear that. They are the body that will be making the decision. So this will, after tonight, the landowner will be granted rights if it's approved, and then it will go to what we said, there will be a board to make sure that all the city zoning requirements and development code is met as they go through this. But this is tonight. This decision is done tonight. It does not move any further. Just want to make sure the residents are aware of that, because that's a different than what's been going on for years and years. So,
thank you, Mayor. Was there more to your presentation?
We can walk through the stipulations. We have a lot of them, and if you have any questions, happy to
please
do so. Would you like us to walk through those?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm going to get up my full notes here on those. So you have a lot of, this is, as Andy stated, staff's desire to try to dot all I's and cross all T's. So we make sure that as this goes forward, as has been explained to a more staff-administered body, that we're doing it right, is our main concern. So let's go through the proposed stipulations. We have 14 of them. That are recommended by staff. First one is our pretty standard one, that the final plat, the next step of the process when they go to get ready to actually record, will conform to what they've submitted to us from January 11th. So that's the plat you've been reviewing and looking at. The next is that the improvements will be installed as required by city engineer, governed by our new design standards that you've all recommended and approved recently. Same with the subdivision improvement plans. Meet our city code, as Andy will get to review and ensure. The next one is a final sewer slips to be approved. There's this area, as Andy alluded to, we had a lift station that used to be in there, that the sewer in this area is a little bit more difficult. And so stipulation 4 is requesting a revision. This was a comment made from staff to the applicant regarding revising some of the sewer slopes to provide more slope in certain areas and to flatten out the slope in other areas to provide for better flow per our city standards, with the final slopes to be approved by the city engineer. Go to the next. Those are the sumps. So we're doing percolation tests and calculations to determine number of sumps and drainage areas. So we've submitted request to the applicant that as they move forward to the final design, that they provide some additional tests and information for us to determine exactly where all that drainage should be put. The sixth one, similar, so this is between lots 14 and 15. In fact, I'm going to pull that back up so you... Yes. So 14 and 15 are these two right here. And there was a low point shown in some of the street grading that might have resulted in pooling, so we're asking for elimination of that. And otherwise, we'll have to either create a new drainage channel that runs between them into the wash to, we want to make sure the road doesn't get washed out. Cul-de-sac drainage. As you recall, the last time we discussed, we had that long discussion about cul-de-sacs. This is one of the things that we were trying to address. We're asking for a drainage corridor, that alternative that allows for drainage out of the cul-de-sac so they don't have to keep raising it, so we can properly manage that drainage into the wash or another acceptable place. Any comments on any? Feel free to jump in if you have any comments, Andy. Some of these are more technical.
Could you just show us on the plat map where that would be, please?
Of course. So it's for any cul-de-sac, but I think the main one we were concerned about was this one down here. I could be wrong, but I think that's the one. So either we get that drainage to work the way we want to, or we'll ask them to provide an appropriate drainage corridor, likely going into the wash.
Between the two lots. 19 and 20.
Yeah. I will note that it's likely that the actual trail can be that overflow corridor. They just need to measure that as it goes clear out to the adjacent street when it would ultimately go into the streets in Canterbury. But if that can't work, then in this case, you'll recall the standard that we adopted is it either had to then have a drainage corridor that went to a street or to a drainage corridor that could handle the water. The wash could certainly handle the water, and so as a alternative, if the trail can't function as the drainage channel, then we would work with them to define a drainage overflow path to the wash, kind of between lots 19 and 20, or something similar that they could live with and feel good about. Our point is if the drainage in the street doesn't work, we want to have somewhere safe to go. Ultimately, if you pare it down. And in this case, I think this is one of those cul-de-sacs that they don't want to lift. They're not proposing to lift. Yeah, yeah. And those folks that live behind that cul-de-sac don't want that lifted either, because they don't want that cul-de-sac to be higher than the natural grade, mm-hmm. because they just want these homes to sit about like their home does. Mm-hmm. And so providing that alternative standard, as we talked about last meeting, is a good thing, and you're seeing some of those good things come to fruition here.
Would just a question from my side. So I'm hoping there's no probability, but in what you described, it sounded like there could be a probability that it would go between 164 and 165, or is that not an option? I'm not suggesting.
No, it's that. Not going that direction.
So it will either just go south or it'll go north.
What it would do is it would follow the new trail to where it hit. The city owns the corridor that's behind 164, 165, and the trail will ultimately bend and go south from there and off the map. I don't even know if we can see. Yeah, you can see it goes clear to Aerial Way, that lot. I don't know if that's the name of the street there, but the lot that lot 181 fronts that street.
Yes, okay.
So we'd have the opportunity to then overflow to that street and then follow that street's drainage.
Okay.
That's a likely drainage path, but we don't know that for sure right now. So if that didn't work, then they would need to provide a drainage path to the wash for that cul-de-sac. And I'm noting they're not proposing to lift this cul-de-sac. They're proposing that it more or less matches the existing ground. I mean, you can't grade a street perfectly to match the existing ground, but their intent is to more or less have it at the existing ground level so that it's not being lifted or changed. But then comes in this concern that we don't want to have these low points, either in cul-de-sacs or streets, really, where there's not an overflow path. If we had an ideal scenario, and real world and ideal are totally different, but if one inlet was blocked, for whatever reason, or was infunctional, the drainage would just jump that inlet and keep going down the street until it hit the next inlet, and so to speak, so that the drainage just kept going, till ultimately we had a safe overflow path to some type of natural drainage or something. We don't always have the luxury of having the ideal, but we do all we can to make it follow that ideal.
Thank you.
So that is stipulation 8. Stipulation 9, which I'm not going to go back to the PowerPoint for because I'm going to have to pull up something. I said we had 14 stipulations. Actually, I lied because stipulation 9 is the final plant subdivision improvement plans to conform to the recommended stipulations from our memorandum, which is that separate document specifically addressing the sensitive lands. So I'm going to pull that specifically up because... So this is, per our new code, when there is a request to kind of change that slope setback, staff is supposed to prepare a memorandum to explain whether we think it's good or not. And as you in here, we explain that we think it's reasonable and supportable, but we do have a long list of stipulations on top of that.
Would you be kind enough to just expand it so that it's visible to everybody, please?
Is that good? So just to overline, lay this memorandum was with the staff report or the agenda packet. The memorandum explains that this subdivision basically qualifies. Fortunately for the development, they'd want to qualify for it, but they meet the criteria to be subject to the sensitive lands ordinance. We required them to provide a slope analysis and other studies. They requested that you adjust that 50-foot slope setback. And that explains the kind of maximum, that slope, the 1 to 1.5 or 1.5 to 1 slope requirement. This addresses that road that crosses the wash on the eastern boundary, how that was, we evaluated it, we were comfortable with what they were proposing. Our recommendation is that we don't oppose their request as long as you adopt our stipulations. We believe that those can be adopted and incorporated into the final subdivision construction plans and as part of home construction. We outlined the plans that were there so that if in a future date we can pull up these exact reports, make sure that that is referenced clearly, and then we found that that would satisfy the sensitive lands ordinance. So we have a long list of suggested stipulations here. And most of these we've covered, but I'll go over those again as well. The first is that a supplemental geotechnical report be provided. So this was the updated one as we moved to final that we get specific for each lot as to what the requirements would be. Second stipulation, similar, was that the lot-specific slope setback restrictions shall be established as if the soil loading occurs at the surface elevation of the lot. I'm going to need some engineering on that one, but that's beyond me.
That just means that... they're going to look at that 1.5 to one line as if it goes all the way to the surface.
We'll ask for a grading plan regarding to establish the final lot elevation for all of those lots adjacent to the wash. That'll be part of the note. That's part of the just overall delineation of where you can and can't build. We want a final elevation of this is where you're at. Same with the next stipulation that we're added that specific note that says here is where it's buildable and here is where it's not. The next several relate to that. Recorded plat shall annotate all buildable areas. That was the cross-hatching that we showed you. The recorded plat shall indicate that the owners will be prohibited from defoliating the natural vegetative material for the slope stability purposes. So that's part of the sensitive lands ordinance where we say you can't disturb the vegetation that's part of there that helps prevent erosion.
We do want to clarify that doesn't mean they can't cut down a dead tree or anything. We're expecting that the lot owners will care for the wash, but what we're getting at is you can't come in and just clear cut that wash because then we've got a potentially erodible surface and some of the conditions that we looked at to say we think it's safe to build a little closer to that wash change when you strip the vegetation on that surface. So, but we expect that over time, the owners will care for that. And like I said, as the trees die or other things happen, or they could prune up the trees to make them look prettier or whatever. We're just talking about not stripping the soil bare.
The next recommended stipulation is that. Essentially, that they will comply with the geotechnical report in terms of vegetation, drainage, limiting on water on slopes, that the final plat will incorporate that geotech report. Similar, the next one is that a site-specific evaluation of each lot will be performed by a geotechnical engineer in connection with actual building. So when it comes to building permits, we're going to require to make sure that they're properly studied, that you're not going to have a house slide off a mountain. Same with the, and this is actually a recommendation from their geotech report, was that when the fill goes in, that it's proper fill and it's properly certified by a geotechnical engineer for all of those lots and for the public road. And a note be added to indicate that. Next stipulation that we request that cross-section. So as you saw that, we provide that example earlier of showing where that slope hits. We'd like that to be provided for each lot, so each lot owner knows, this is how my lot is being calculated in terms of where I can put my home. Complete the sensitive lands owner. So just finalize all of the kind of studies and materials as we go forward to final plat. We'll record the final geotech report, any supplemental information. And then the final one was, as long as everything else is met, staff does support the applicant's request to reduce the 50-foot slope setback to those, the greater of the three things that we have talked about.
Would this be accomplished before it goes to the board?
Sorry?
The group that's after, if this is approved or unapproved, but then the next body that meets, that's made up of planning commissioners and whoever, will all this be already in place?
Yes. Okay. So the next steps is, so this entitles them to develop for this, but they're going to have to come back in and, you know, provide us the final information, the final reports, the final study. Some of it will be done at building permit stage for each lot. But other than that, we'll require all that information to be provided so that that board will then review it and approve it and say, because we're going to look back and say, all right, if, you know, assuming you approve with these stipulations, Planning Commission adopted this stipulation. You know, have you carried that forward and updated your report and, you know, added those notes on the plat as recommended? Great. Now you've satisfied that moving forward to final plat. So, yes, this will all be carried forward. So, now I'll go back to the stipulations. We're almost through them. Let me go forward to the last slide here. Parcel A shall be dedicated to Highland City, so that's that northwestern little parcel. The irrigation, the ditch that is running through the property will be properly buried and managed per Lehigh Irrigation Company standards and the city standards as well. We also have landscaping requirements regarding the types of trees, making sure it matches our tree standards and variety, installing trees, rock mulch, sprinkler systems, aeroscaping type materials will all be provided for those trail areas in accordance with our city ordinances. And then theme wall along 6400 West. And then the final stipulation is, normally you don't, you might have seen in the staff report, we included our, Commissioner Howden might be more familiar with these, but we included our comments back and forth where staff sends comments out, say, hey, fix this, and we had a whole list of things, and they provided their responses. In order to kind of expedite getting this decided, we just included those to say they've provided their responses saying they'll comply and comply. We're just saying just meet all of those unless we've updated them with these other stipulations. Comply with those and all these other stipulations, and we're good with it. So it is a long list of stipulations, but we're trying to cover everything clearly for everyone's sake. Any questions about any of these stipulations?
No, but I do appreciate that back and forth so that we could see the dialogue. That was nice to be able to catch up on that.
And I'll say that is only a part of the dialogue. As Andy's indicated, we've had a lot of conversations with the applicant working back and forth. That's kind of the formal communication we've had, but we've a lot of conversations have gone into this.
Okay, is there anything else, or are we opening this up?
I would suggest that you give the developer an opportunity to speak before you open up to comment. And then open it to comment.
Yes. All right, yes, let's go ahead and have the developer come on up and state your name and address. And thank you.
So my name is Todd Train. I represent Millhaven Homes. And I appreciate being the guinea pig on two of the processes. Just to answer a couple questions, we have done substantial geotechnical work on the hollow And to come back to the fill issue, all of the test holes that we have seen near the edge, we have gotten down to native material where we would excavate for a home. We have seen the fill on the edges. There's a bunch of concrete and like building materials that have been dumped off there, and we will clean them up the best that we can. But the setback that we're currently showing will be far enough out of that. And we have a standard practice. We will build on all of the homes that we actually have the geotech look at the excavated hole. I'll give you a good example. The hollow down the street, the Reinhardt property, is one of the properties that we developed. We ran into a similar situation down there where they had dumped a bunch of debris off. And once we excavated down, we didn't get out of it. And so we had to over-ex and remove some of that material to get down to the native soils and then bring it back up with engineered fill. So we will do that on all of these if we run into that. But I think with the setback that we currently have, we won't run into those issues. But we'll deal with them with the city as we run into them. So we are planning a theme wall along 6400 West and along the south cul-de-sac as needed. We also have dedicated more property on the south to give a little bit more buffer to lots 9, 10, and 11. We're doing a 6-foot park strip with trees. That is not required. We're doing that just to get the road a little bit further away from those residents. I will say that the property is actually 24.77 acres. And if you go through the code and do the R140 zone, we are entitled to 26 lots on the property. Now, obviously, because of frontage and issues, and we're dedicating almost 2 acres to Highland City on the back end, we couldn't get 26, but we do have a layout that we got 24 per code, but it just wasn't ideal for our clients. Our clients want bigger, nicer lots, and so we have whittled it down to 20. And so we feel like it's good for residents. We're not getting the density that we would be entitled to. We want the bigger lots because that's what our clients want. I'm trying to think of some of the other issues. Oh, let me just point out, so we feel like the proposal that we were asking for is more safe than what's currently out there. And you can see it, if you look at the plan there, along 161, 160, 159, 58 on Canterbury Drive, if you look at that plan, if you extend the 1.5-to-1 slope, who's running the mouse over there? Is that you? See where I've ended it on 161? Can you just put the cursor right at the next one over? If you go south, that line. We've ended it because we didn't do topo on the remainder of those lots, but you can see we're actually being safer than what's existing out there because that is the 1.5-to-1 slope that is projected up from the bottom, and all of those lots are actually built. The homes are built in that area. We are projecting that line much further, and you can tell by lot 12, lot 13, we're further from the wash than those homes. And so these are going to be big, nice homes. We want them to be built on stable, good foundations. And so we're following the geotechnical recommendations, being as safe as we possibly can. And so we feel like this is a reasonable request. We love it out there. We've been cleaning out the hollow, if you haven't been down there. We haven't been cutting down trees, but we're just removing all the debris and cleaning up what's down in there. We haven't started removing any of the concrete yet because we want an excavation permit with the subdivision before we start removing some of that. We're just doing vegetation right now and the existing debris in the thing, in the bottom of the channel. So if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them. We feel like this is going to be a great asset to Highland City.
So I've got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
I think you already said it, but I wasn't sure. Is the intent of Millhaven to build out all these lots?
Correct.
You're not intending to sell any of them off.
We've had a few builders approach us to get one or two of these lots. We're toying with the idea of maybe one or two to the high-end custom. I mean, I'm not going to name any names, but we would feel like it would be someone that would be wanting to do maybe a parade of homes or something in here. We feel like this is going to be a very nice subdivision. If you've been up to our tree farm subdivision, that's where our parade of homes was this year. We feel like it's going to have a lot of the same feel as that. we anticipate having one or two parade of homes in this area in the future.
Okay, and the reason for my question was simply, this is the longest list of restrictions I've ever seen on ever building a house.
Well, and to answer that, it's because we're going through these two processes as the guinea pig, and that's really what's happening.
Understand that. My concern being, if you handed that off to a private person doing it, or an inexperienced contractor, or whatever you want to call it, that would be a problem. It makes me a little bit more at ease that you're going to see it through to the end, your relationship with the city will maintain. Yeah.
And we are, if we sell one off or two, it would be to a large custom home builder, and we would still be involved. We're going to build the entire subdivision now and be involved until the very last home. And to put you at ease on that, we have so many restrictions that are going to be on the plat and going to be recorded with these lots that, and coming in for building permit, there's just no way to, and I will add, we are not grading anything. We are building up on the flat, and we're staying away from the hollow. We're going to dedicate a conservation easement in the bottom of this to keep it as is and natural. That's one of the requirements the irrigation company has anyway, so that they can maintain it as is. So we're going to dedicate that and just build up on the flats and stay away from the slopes. And so really, once we dedicate that as a buildable line, being either the 12 feet or, as you can see on 13 and 12 and 20, much further from the edge, once we describe that line, they can't build within that. And so a lot of the stipulations you're seeing are going to be taken care of with the plat being recorded that way. So
the last, well, a couple more questions, but do you, as Millhaven, have any problem with all these restrictions? Are you in agreement? Is there something you'd want to fight? Here's your chance.
Yes. I wish I would have submitted this 6 months ago, because I think this would have been a no-brainer. I mean, every other subdivision in Highland has developed this way. I feel like we are going through a few processes that we wouldn't have had to. I understand why you've done this. There's other properties in the city, and I know them. I dealt with them for many years. Those of you that don't know, Andy replaced me at Highland. I was the city engineer for a long time. So I get it. I understand. I wish that we would have submitted it, because I think a lot of the requirements that I'm being asked to accommodate don't pertain to this property. They just don't. I agree by setting it back, but we would have done that anyway with the geotechnical report. We would have been told to do exactly what we're doing, and we would have got the exact same scenario.
So we can't make time go back. I wish we could. But other than that, You're satisfied, you're happy, and you're willing to move forward.
I think we're satisfied. I am more than willing to do what we're being asked, because it's the right thing to do anyway. And we want this to be a very nice subdivision, something that Highland City is proud of for many years, and that the neighbors are proud of for many years. This is going to be a very nice subdivision. The other issue that I'm running into is that we recently changed the design criteria, some other things. They're laughing over there because I really am the guinea pig for a lot of these things. So the staff has been very great to work with as far as helping us through this process. It's been difficult, but they've been great to work with. So,
perfect. Thank you for that. And one last question. You'd mentioned the easement down on the bottom. Is that a public easement, or is that to the city?
It's going to be a city easement as well as the irrigation company. So this is tailwater irrigation water that runs basically when it hits this property. It no longer irrigates anything. Well, I lie. We will be running a 24-inch pipe through the subdivision, but ultimately what goes in the wash is just the tailwater that makes it to the, what are we calling that night? Dry Creek Lake? Okay. Makes it to the lake down there, but the easement basically will be that the irrigation company and Highland City can get down in there and maintain whatever they want whenever they
want. But no public. It's not a trail for the kids to go.
Correct. No. Okay. No. We want this to be private property, but the city and the irrigation company can maintain the ditch. Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. We have enough. Okay. Rob, real quick, we have Commissioner Tracy that needs to head out at 8:30. We have enough to make any voting that needs to happen.
We need to hold a public hearing, so.
Okay. So. If he leaves,
if he leaves, we still have enough. Four. You'll just have to be unanimous in your decision. Okay.
8:50. Okay, great. I thought you said it. Yes. 8:50. All right. We're going to go ahead and open up for a public hearing. If you do have comment, hopefully some of this was clarifying for you and helped answer some questions. But please state your name and your address, and this is now open for you. We'll have a 3-minute timer for you.
I'm Elizabeth Rice, and at 6241 West, 9680 North Highland. I really respect Millhaven Homes. I think that they are an amazing builder. They built some homes over close to my area because I don't live here. I would always love for them to build me a home. That being said, I do want you to bring to your mind some of the visions of the homes that were built in St. George near Awash, and they got a little too close. I mean, even in Draper, that was a huge, huge cliff that they built, and they lost the homes. They lost three homes in St. George, and it wasn't really all that close, but washes turn into rivers really fast. I really trust Millhaven Homes. If they said they could do it, and you're comfortable with that setback that they've requested. However, I would put one more stipulation on, that they not sell off those ones to a private contractor, builder, whomever, that they are the ones that have to, you know, build the homes that are on that wash or on that edge. That's my only comment.
Thank you.
I'm new to this, so this is my second time up here, but a couple follow-up questions from the conversation.
Could you give your name and address?
Eric Halverson, 6589 West, 10760 North. So a couple follow-up questions I may just field. So I wasn't really familiar with geotechnical engineering before tonight, but did the staff do anything to verify? Did the staff do anything to verify or vet the geotechnical engineer? Is there a process where you actually verify that this engineer is educated and experienced, so they're not the one that's built Suncrest?
So, and I understand the reason for the question, but it's not really under the purview of the city to, validate a license. If they're a licensed engineer in the state of Utah, the state has gone through the process to, qualify them as an engineer. So. As a city, for lack of a better word, we don't have the ability to say, well, we like this engineer, we don't like this engineer, if you will. If they're a licensed engineer in the state of Utah, it's the state and the Division of Occupational and Professional Licensing that verify that they've met the qualifications and then, that they remain in good standing, if that makes sense.
Okay. So you didn't actually... You don't. There's nothing. You don't actually vet.
We don't. Okay. But it's not just this development. We don't do that for any development, if you will. It's not in our purview the way that the licensing is structured in the state of Utah.
Perfect. Another follow up question. I got short time here, so just I'll throw out a couple ideas. You don't actually have to answer them, but I think you could at least think about them. I think most of the residents would prefer to have a fence that goes all the way around the property. It's a little interesting that you would choose to have a fence along 6400 West, since that would be more of like an advertising fence, since there's the only homes there back up to the road. So it seems like if you're going to put a fence up anywhere, you'd put it between the existing homes that will border the houses. It's also interesting to me that you would have a parkway between the on 6400 West, because most of the time, if it's the back of someone's house and you're going to have a brick fence, that area likely will go underserved. So the commission may consider not having a grass space between the actual sidewalk, the fence, and the neighbor's houses. So those sidewalks actually get, you know, they might not get mowed or whatnot or taken care of. And then the other question I have, and I think I just want to clarify that some of these lots are really big, especially the one right behind our house is about 4 acres. You can only build a second massive structure like a home if you have less than 150 feet of street space, right? Like curb space.
Oh, additional subdivision, yes. They would have to, if they wanted to subdivide that lot into more lots, you'd still find a way to get street frontage. So 130 feet
minimum. 130 feet is the rule. Okay, so there's not, unless that changes, there's not really a way for someone to build a second home behind an existing house.
No, I mean, they're entitled to build accessory structures, whatever else, but a second home would require a subdivision.
Okay, frontage. Perfect. Thank you.
Rick Guyman, I am 65. Is that cheering? Oh, I thought the Amos would cheer for me. 6522 Deer Hollow Way. So I'm on Ariel Way. I'm the little kind of small cul-de-sac on the very far south, backs up right to my backyard. So I just had two small questions. I'm actually great with the plan. On the kind of theme wall, is that going to be an 8 foot or a 6 foot? Theme wall there?
The standard is 6 feet, depending on how it gets measured out. So it'll be okay. 6 feet from finished grade.
From finished grade. Okay. And then the other one is that path as it's going to curve down and go, I think it was between lots 164 or 165, right in the corner of that cul-de-sac. And you just mentioned possible drainage out into, you didn't know the street name, but it's Avery Avenue right there. And I was just curious, would that 10-foot path, I would assume, is asphalt. Is that correct? The kind of on that side?
So the between the existing subdivision, it's just a city-owned property. It's not actually improved as an asphalt trail or anything. So we would city would have to go in and design that appropriately to line up with the trail. The trail Got they're it. Proposing is a 10-foot asphalt, but it'll stop at the end of their property.
Got it. Okay.
I will note that in that drainage overflow section, it may change to concrete. Just because what we would do if it turns into be the overflow channel is rather than having the trail, you know, grade normally to one side, we would grade it to the middle so it's kind of a V.
Got it.
And so in order to place that section would have to be concrete. That's really tough to do out of asphalt.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then last question would be that Deer Hollow Way circle is often a racetrack. I have 6 kids, and there's a bunch of young kids that live on there. Is there any, you know, coming from 6400 down into that neighborhood, you'll have just two kind of slight curves in there that people could just fly through there. Is there any plans for different stop signs, or do we have those plans already, or what that looks like?
We haven't. I don't think engineered traffic control yet. I mean, we do have a new traffic pedestrian traffic safety thing where we can evaluate things as they start to show. If there is a unusual traffic or unsafe, we can look at that. The city has a process of asking for more signs or.
It's not done beforehand. It's done once we kind of know how traffic changes.
Correct.
Okay.
We'll do it on major streets where we know that's going to be an issue. For something where it's local roads, we wait until we see how the traffic patterns work out and then evaluate at that point.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else?
Dennis Bromley, 6475 West, 10760 North. So we're on the north side of the development. Just a quick comment on timing. What is the general outline for starting development, building homes, completion, phases maybe? And then secondly, I would echo what Eric said about a fence along the north side. If we're going to do a wall around partial of the development, it seems like it would make sense aesthetically as well as for all of the residents to have a cement wall, 6 foot wall around the entire property and development. So, thank you. Thank you.
Would anyone like to speak to that first one?
Relative to the timing issue, I think that we'd let the developer respond to that.
Please feel free. Thank you.
As far as timing goes, so the hope would be that we have final plat approval within the next few months with staff. And we will start construction as soon as we possibly can on the subdivision. We currently have six of the lots just spoken for. We can't sell lots until we have a plat. But we haven't opened it up to the public. That's just six of our previous clients that want to move into here. As far as timing goes, it just depends on our clients. We will move as quickly as they want to go. I would imagine that building 20 lots out, I'll give you a good example. The Hollow is 73 lots total, and we're still building that out, and probably will for the next couple years. So I would imagine that the 20 lots, you know, by the time it would be completely built out is 2 or 3 years from now. But it's, you know, 3 or 4 homes at a time going in there. So, and then was there another question?
They were just asking about a fence.
Oh, the fence. So the fence, we are putting up what's required by the city. We don't do it with the individual lots because some of our owners have preferences. I will say that 99% of the time our clients put up their own fence, and they're very nice quality, good quality fence. If you're going to spend the amount of money on a lot and a home with Millhaven, you're going to fence your yard. And so I would imagine all of the surrounding subdivision will, if it doesn't already have a nice fence, it will be put up. And so if you are adjacent to the subdivision and have a fence, I would imagine that your neighbor will approach you and say, you know, I'm willing to put up a fence. But we as the developer will wait until our clients know what they want. So
thank you. Okay, it looks like any other questions? Okay, it looks like we're going to close the public hearing. Thank you. Okay, can I open it up for comments between the commission, please? Anyone would like to make comments or have questions for each other?
Yeah, I'd just like to say something just to the general public. So a year and a half ago, Highland City changed our development code, so you actually can't put grass in the park strip. It has to be xeriscaped, so no more sprinklers running at 1 in the afternoon type of thing. Just my only thought just for the commissioners would be, I understand the logic in making an extra along 6400 where normally we've got 14 foot from top of curb. But then as you go north of the trail, so it's just lot 8, we're actually having 19 foot. So at least to me, visually, if you're driving down the road, you're going to see the theme wall, you'll have a break for the trail, and then it'll be set back a little bit. And so I'm impartial if we remove that 19 foot thing and just make it 14 foot. If the developer agrees with that, I am impartial either way. But otherwise, I think this is great.
Can you pull up the stipulations, please, again? In particular, I want to look at 2 and 3. And just really my question is, to me, this is like restating the current ordinances or laws. Is there a reason why we're saying that we need to have the city engineer, it's something determined by the city engineer afterwards. It implies to me that they're looking for an opportunity. Going back to our training, it's like they're trying to backdoor to have another approval process.
It's a very astute comment. These first three recommendations were kind of our long-standing, almost default stipulations for all preliminary plats. As we just said, you know, carry it forward. You know, you'll design your civil plans. We used to call them civils, and you know, bring them forward. This is one of the things we're shifting out of it because now our standards and our designs are much more specific about how to do it. So we wouldn't actually need to have those stipulations because they're just required to comply with our code. This is more of a holdover from how we used to do something. Again, this is Millhaven getting caught in the middle of our transition of moving from an old process to a new process. So this is more just saying you will submit designs and engineering and plans to our standards, and the city engineer will confirm that they are to our standards.
Okay. So I was just looking for some heading meeting, and thank you for clarifying that. So I don't really see a purpose, as you stated, for that in there. that's really the only other issue that hasn't been covered for me.
I'll say the only thing that is helpful is the January 11th, 2024 date, because we go through several iterations of plans. That's the one that's being presented, just to say that's the one that is being approved. Prior versions don't count. We're not looking at those. So that one still does help to have that date, but the other ones are, as you said, just kind of redundant at this point.
Yeah, the others are kind of a belt and suspenders, you know, because at this point, while we've got a lot of stipulations in there and et cetera, there's a lot of details yet to be filled in. And by design, our process has the developer invest a certain amount of money in their design and their investigation efforts to get to a preliminary plat. And what we look at on a preliminary plat is we say, okay, as a city, do we know enough to be able to feel like this can safely be built, that we can serve it with utilities, and we've addressed all the major issues? Okay, we know that much. Let's bring it forward for preliminary plat. Let's let the developer get their vesting. At this point, they get their vesting, and that means that they're then guaranteed the right to build those, provided they can then dot all the I's, cross all the T's, and bring the plans to fruition in compliance with the city's development codes. But we don't know everything at this point. They haven't given us all that they will ultimately give us. And so those are kind of a belt and suspenders type of approach to all that they will ultimately give us. But we don't make them go to every ounce of detail because, you know, what if we said no and we found that the layout didn't comply for some reason with the city standards? You know, it's kind of a progressive investment scenario. They've invested a certain amount of effort to get to this point, to the point where we feel confident it can be served. But then there's another lift or investment to then get to that final plan stage and that final plat stage where it's like, okay, you've done everything you've got to do. Now you're ready to roll. And so that those two and three are kind of that belt and suspenders. Okay, as you start filling the details, you still got to meet all the city standards, and somebody has to be the gatekeeper for that. Just standardly, it's been me.
Oh, I appreciate that comment, and that really, what you said, kind of is why I asked that question. When you said we don't know everything that's going to be there, that is a red alarm for me. But let me finish. But because of what you said, that's the red alarm. What I want to make sure is that we're following the law, which we will. But that we're not then identifying something down the road, oh, they need to do this. The only basis the city has is if there's something they don't meet that's in code, we can say, no, you can't move forward. If they ask for something that's outside of code, they're back in front of us to be able to get it. That's really the clarification I was looking for. And I know that's what you meant, but that's not how you said it. Didn't quite resonate with me that way. So,
yeah. Yeah, those aren't in there so that we can invent new conditions, because the intent is that what we approve for final, is basically just the coming to fulfillment of what you've seen this evening.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Any other comment? Okay. All right, it looks like we are going to, were there any stipulations that you did not see listed that you would like to list, if that's even a question? Because there was a lot. Anything, because I didn't really have any concerns.
No, I don't. Jay, would you mind, or Rob, going to the motion page, if you please?
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion, if that's okay.
Please.
I move that the Planning Commission accept the findings and approve the preliminary plat for Foxwood Estates subdivision, subject to the stipulations recommended by staff.
Okay. Claude seconded.
Oh, sorry.
And we'll go ahead and vote.
Yes.
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 Okay, that is approved. Motion is approved. And what else? Where I think
calendar. It's the first plat you've approved as a preliminary as a planning.
I guess we do a little applause. But we will move on to calendar items for the commission and staff. Future meetings will be February 6th for City Council, February 20th for City Council, and February 27th. Mayor, is there anything you want to let us know about those two meetings? No?
Okay. Well, the January 31st meeting will be a City Council work session where they will be discussing the widening of 4800.
Okay.
That was they were going to talk about it at the last meeting. It got a little full, so they've moved it to this meeting to discuss that. But that's the email I sent out to you to please be aware of the City Council's discussion on 4800 so that can inform your discussion on it at our next meeting.
So, Chairperson Moore, that your 4800 West, last time we had that, we brought in quite a few residents showed up for that one, so you might want to be aware that will come through Planning Commission, then go to City Council. But that is a major road project that can affect some individuals' property. So
yes, thank you, appreciate that. Okay, do we have a motion?
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Approve.
Yes.
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 Thank you. Thanks for joining us tonight.